Good morning, George Whitfield United Methodist Church, and welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning, May 9th. It is the sixth Sunday of Easter, and we are so glad that you're joining us. Just a reminder that we are meeting in front of the church outside. For full details, be sure to check out your bulletin in the community announcements section. Just a few announcements this morning. We have two wonderful biographies listed in your bulletin for our new certified lay minister, Sandy Dam, and our coordinating pastor, Reverend John H.D. Lucy. I invite you to read those biographies, get to know the folks that are headed our way in July, and we are very excited to have them. Just a reminder that I will be away from May 10th to May 17th, and I'll be unable to respond to phone calls or emails. Pastoral coverage will be provided by Reverend Amy McCarthy of the Spencer UCC, and her cell phone number is listed in the bulletin. Just a quick note, there will be no in-person worship service on Sunday, May 16th. A special at-home worship service will be mailed out that week, and the audio service will be available on our website at georgewhitfieldumc.weebly.com/worship-services or over the phone, and the phone line number is listed in your bulletin. Just a reminder that Ad Council and any others who would wish to join us will be meeting on Sunday, May 23rd after church in the Fellowship Hall. All are welcome as we make important decisions. Let us join now in a time of worship. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John 15, verses 9 through 17 and 26 through 27. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I was preparing for this week's service, a song kept popping into my head. All You Need Is Love by the Beatles. We all know the lyrics. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. When the song was first released in 1967 during the Summer of Love, we were in the midst of the first civil rights movement in the U.S. Generally speaking, there were two responses to this Beatles hit. The first one was that life was as simple as love. All we need to do is love one another, and we can solve any conflict that comes our way. But a second response arose, that we are naive to think that love is the only solution to the world's problems. This was a rejection of the tranquil and hazy notion that undefined and unchallenging love can do anything. For anyone who has been married for a year or for 70 years, love is hard sometimes. On the outside, it can look like love is this never-ending honeymoon period. Love is this euphoric timelessness that carries you through anything and everything. Rather, on the inside, love can be mostly unrecognizable from the fairy tales. There are conversations to be had, apologies to make, wrongdoing to confront, and reconciliation on the other side. In this morning's scripture passage, we hear Jesus imploring the disciples to remember his love and the love of God in all they do. In this there is great joy, joy that abides deeply through the paradise of love and the heartache of wounded spirits. Jesus tells the disciples that they have a new model for love. They've heard the phrase, love one another as you love yourself, but they've never heard that they were called to love as Jesus loves. This challenge to love suddenly became much more difficult for the disciples, for human love is imperfect, but divine love is pristine. How were they ever to meet Jesus's gold standard of love? The good news is that we're not alone in this. Jesus sent the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to lead us in such love. And if we go back to the original language in the passage, we find a richer definition of love. It's not some dreamy emotion, but rather the concept of love in this passage has implications for our everyday life. The word for love in this case is agape in Greek, which comes from the Latin for caritas, which means charity. This means that we love by doing, not simply feeling something toward other people. Love, in other words, is a verb. So when Jesus says, love others as I have loved you, what he's actually saying in the original language is, do unto others as I have done for you. This is why Jesus explains love through the image of laying down one's life for others. To love others, in Jesus' example, is to speak life into another situation, not death. To love others is to offer our whole selves in commitment to healing and reconciliation. To love others is to be open to the transformation of a relationship, even when it means stepping back, stepping in, or stepping up. As scholar Carmelo Alvarez puts it, love becomes a transforming power more than a superficial and emotional expression. And Jesus has appointed us to do this work. To be appointed is an honor and a serious thing. It is a commitment we make to follow through on. Just as a pastor in the United Methodist Church is appointed and goes where called, so too we are called by God to go where God sees work to be done by us. As we close this sermon series about being unrecognizable Christians in a world that so desperately needs God's love, as we look toward the future, we are called to respond to Jesus' appointment for us. Bear the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are called to be the body of Christ and to do love. So go, bear fruit. So go, love. So go, transform the world. For we are not alone, but in the example of Jesus Christ, sustained by God the Creator, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God of love, we are so grateful for your example of what love can look like and how transformative it can be. This Mother's Day, we particularly remember the love of our mothers, whether our biological mothers or the mothers who have taken care of us throughout our life, whether that's a mother that we're related to or not. God, we are so grateful for them and for their examples. God, we pray that you would be present with all those who are motherless. We pray for all those who have not experienced that love. And we pray that we would be that love for them. God, today we particularly give thanksgiving for the gifts that make ministry possible. God, for all of the gifts that we have received this week, we dedicate them to you and to your mission to spread your love throughout our world. God, we lift up our medical professionals and researchers, our doctors and nurses, all those who have been working so hard in the past year, nearly year and a half. God, we hold in our hearts those experiencing unemployment. We pray for those facing racial injustice and violence. We pray for our world as we continue to combat gun violence. and for our congregation as we grieve the loss of loved ones. We pray for those experiencing illness or health issues, especially those who are ill with COVID-19. God, we lift up Mary Jane, and we are grateful for her recovery as she continues to recover at home. God, we lift up Al, who's experiencing health issues, and his family as they care for him. We pray for Dan and Kelly. We lift up Lindsay and Richie. God, we pray for those in nursing homes or extended care facilities. God, we lift up Betty. We remember Claire. God, we pray for those who are caring for others, for we know that this is not an easy job by any means. God, we are grateful for all they do. And we lift up Carrie and Crystal and Rachel. And God, this morning we also lift up the United Methodist Church as we always do. And God, indeed, the global church, as we seek to live out your call and the example of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever God may send you. May God guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May God bring you home rejoicing at the wonders God has shown you. May God bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.